Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Ask a PI Talk Radio with hosts David Duchesneau, author, PI, former Marine, and former New Hampshire State Trooper, and Rusty McDonald, PI, author, motivational speaker, and international radio talk show host.
Afternoon to all of our listeners out there in Radio Land. You're listening to Ask a PI, and I'm Rusty, and David's on the line today. Hey, David, I was getting worried. I haven't heard from you in a while, so I was like, where is he? Did he vaporize?
No, I'm right here, Rusty. How you doing tonight?
I'm all right. I'm finally catch a little bit of a break and get over this autoimmune hump and feeling a little better. Thank you. How are you feeling?
I'm doing well, thank you. I want to welcome everybody to the show, and I think we have a good show tonight. We have a lot of information that we have for our listeners, and I want to say that everything we talked about tonight, everything we're going to talk about tonight, we've investigated in one way or another and been involved in pretty much all of it, and it's really in-depth, and, you know, we talk about accident investigations and tips on how to mitigate your losses, you know, lessen your losses. But, you know, everybody, you know, when we talk about accident investigations, we also talk about accident reconstruction because that's what we do. And, you know, it's pretty much synonymous with everybody when you talk about this, that it's motor vehicle accidents that we're talking about. But in all actuality, you know, we talk about all kinds of accidents because we've investigated all kinds of accidents and we reconstructed all types of accidents. Every day, you know, across the world, actually, you know, accidents occur all the time. I mean, the statistics are just astounding. How many accidents occur each day, each hour, each minute? It's amazing. But accidents not only occur, you know, in motor vehicle accidents, but we also have, you know, railroad accidents, construction site accidents, pedestrians, lawnmower accidents, golf cart accidents, marine accidents. Employee accidents, you know, in the workplace, stepladder accidents, and, you know, whatever type of accident that may occur, it's not enough to say that something went wrong. And a good trained accident investigator and reconstructionist can help determine exactly what happened and could prevent things from happening in the future. In short, irregardless of what type of accident occurs, all accidents can be investigated and reconstructed, to determine the cause of that accident. And you know, first let's give a definition of what an accident is. I mean, the definitions vary, you know, but it's basically an unforeseen or unplanned event or circumstances. And the legal definition on lawyers.com is an unexpected sudden event that occurs without intent or volition, although sometimes through carelessness, unawareness, ignorance, or a combination of causes that produces an unfortunate results, for instance, injury, for which the affected party may be entitled to relief under the law or to compensation under an insurance policy. And, of course, everybody knows, you know, once you get into, you know, an accident, that there's an awful lot of litigation that goes with it, especially in different types of accidents. But the legal definition, you know, an unforeseen event, and it is, and that's what an accident is, you know, and occurring without the will or design of the person who mere act caused such an accident. So, anyway, with that in mind, you know, what does or why do you need an accident investigator? Well, you need an accident investigator because you got to know what happened. You got to get to the meat of the matter, and you got to get to, you know, who, if there was more than one person involved, who was at fault for this particular accident, and what took place, and what transpired prior to that accident, during the accident, and after the accident. And there are ways that you can mitigate yourself, lessen your losses, and that's what mitigate means. It means to lessen it. And we're going to give you some tips later on, and I'm going to go, when I do give the tips, it's going to go strictly by our state and our state law on how you can mitigate a lot of this so that your losses are minimized. But before we get to that, you know, we want to talk about different types of accidents. And the last type of accident that we're going to talk about is going to be the motor vehicle accident, because that's the most common. And that's where you get into a lot of other things. You know, motor vehicle accidents, like I said, happen all the time. I mean, every minute of the day, if not every second. And they claim a lot of lives in this state and in every state in this country and in the world. They really do. You know, can you imagine living in Germany and being on the Autobahn, which is the highway? There's no speed limit. I mean, could you imagine having a road where you have no speed limit? I mean, my aching back, and you see how fast people can be going by. And I imagine they have some terrific accidents out there in Germany. I don't see how they cannot. And I have a funny story about that. When I was in the FBI Academy, I had a guy from Germany that was in our class, and he happened to get a hold of somebody's vehicle, and I'm not going to say whose, and he wanted to drive to Washington, D.C. And anyway, he took the vehicle, and he drove like he drove in Germany. And the next thing we knew, he was being escorted back to the FBI Academy by the Virginia State Police, and they asked that he no longer drive a vehicle in this country while he was there for the 13 weeks that we were at the academy. And he was driving an unmarked cruiser, which was amazing. It really was. But anyway, like I said, we have done investigations of all types of accidents. And the second accident, most accidents that happen here in the U.S. are trip and falls, if you can believe that. And the statistics show that this is due to these accidents due to slipping or from falling, but slips and trips occur on floors, streets, walkways, stairs, curbings, basically in any location that a person may move about. And I think if you think about it, you know, and we all walk to different places. We walk to buildings. We walk around. We walk everywhere. I mean, basically, you walk downtown. I mean, how many times have you walked off a curb, or if you, you know, you just trip for, and you're sitting there saying, "How the heck did I do that?" For no reason, you thought, you know, at all. It might be a stone that you walked on that was loose, or something, and you know, and you slipped on that. Well, that's how these accidents occur. And we had an occasion where a person was walking into a doctor's office, and the entrance was going down an incline, and they had just worked on the entrance for whatever reason, and the company that was doing the construction had poured some concrete right by the door of the entrance, but they didn't trowel it correctly, and because of that, our client, if you wish, tripped and went through the window of the entrance. Now, needless to say, there was litigation because of that, and we were asked by the both the insurance company and the lawyers for the client to go back, photograph, and document everything that we could. So we went there with videotapes, and we went there with all kinds of measuring devices, and we were able to tell that that incline was definitely not properly put in place, and that it wasn't treated properly. It wasn't done professionally by the company that did it, and it caused serious bodily injury to that person that obviously that walked through the, well, actually fell through the door, the glass door. And needless to say, this individual did get a sizable amount of money because of that accident. And we were able to show that, you know, there was plenty of negligence on the part of the construction company, and also there was negligence on the part of the doctor's practice, because they let that go by. We're responsible for everything. You know, that includes your residents. If somebody gets hurt at your residence because you were negligent, and if people get hurt there, we are responsible for that. And so, you know, that's one way, again, you know, mitigating your losses. If you have something at your residence that isn't quite right and somebody could get hurt, you want to make sure that you take care of that, because if you don't and somebody does get hurt and it is your fault, you could be legally responsible civilly for these for any injuries that occur to that person. And it, again, that happens every day. Another one is, you know, pedestrians and bicycle accidents. We see bicycles all over the place, obviously. You know, and we have quite a problem on our seacoast here in New Hampshire with bicycles on the coastal route, which is Route 1A, which goes right along, you know, the coastline here in New Hampshire. And those roads are not that wide. However, it appears that the bicyclists feel that they have the right to drive their bicycle or ride their bicycle anywhere that they want. And there's not much of a breakdown lane in some portions of this highway. And we've had people that got hit by vehicles that were accidents. And if you hit a bicyclist, you're going to be at fault. There's no way around it. I don't care if he the bicyclist turns right in front of you, because the law states that you are supposed to be in control of your vehicle at all times, no matter what. And because of that, you know, you want to definitely drive carefully, pay attention when you're driving, especially in the summertime, down around the seacoast in New Hampshire, because the bicyclists are everywhere. And I had a guy that was riding his bicycle, and the family called me because what had happened is he was going around a corner and in a city, and when he did, or as he was traveling around the corner, a pickup truck, which had the mirrors extended, the rearview mirrors on both sides. Anyway, the passenger mirror clipped this individual in the head, knocked him down, and this individual suffered head trauma, and it was so bad that eventually it killed him. Well, we were called in to go and do a reconstruction on this accident, which we did. I did it. And we were able to show that, you know, that it wasn't entirely his fault, and that the pickup truck did have the responsibility of giving way to this individual because he was on a bicycle. And when he hit that bicyclist, he didn't even stop. He didn't. I don't know if he knew he hit him at the time or what, but he never stopped. We were able to get the police reports, and we were able to find the vehicle. We were able to find the person that was driving the vehicle. We were able to get all this information, and we were able to show that the individual that was driving that pickup truck was definitely at fault for this guy's injuries, which ultimately killed him. Now, you know, the first thing I know people probably are saying is that, you know, what did the police do? Well, we also learned while doing our investigation that the individual that owned the pickup truck was well known by the police, and they never suspected him for whatever reason. But he was, you know, we were able to question several people that owned businesses in that area, and that's how we got to the vehicle. Now, why the police didn't get that information, I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is that we did our job, and the attorneys were very happy with the results of our investigation, and because of that, this individual did get charged, number one, for leaving the scene of an accident, and number two, for negligent homicide, because of the, like I said, the bicyclist did sustain enough injuries that he did die as a result of that accident. And it was quite ironic because this individual was here visiting a relative, and he was just out taking a bike ride. He does it when he's at home. He lived in Connecticut, and he was visiting around here, and he asked if he could use a bicycle and go take a ride. He did have a helmet on, but the helmet did not save his life because of the way that he fell on the curbing and everything like that. But you can see that, you know, like I said, accidents happen, and accidents are just what they say they are. They're an accident. It's not a deliberate act. It's something that happened that is unexpected. Well, I'm sure when this man took that bicycle, he never thought that he would, well, God only knows what he thought, but I'm sure he didn't think that he'd never come home again. But so, again, you know, when we investigate accidents, basically they're all done pretty much the same way, except, you know, that it's different types of accidents. But the bottom line is this, you know, we document everything we can. We photograph everything we can. We question everybody that we can locate. You know, and you got to understand that everything that we get is after the fact. The police have already done their investigations in most times, most instances. You know, they have their photographs. We have ours. Obviously, a lot of the evidence that they have, you know, especially if it's a serious enough accident, we will not be able to get, especially if you had any fluids, vehicle fluids, and or if you have any bodily fluids, because the rain will wash it away. And we don't get these accidents right after they happen. We get them, you know, months, sometimes even years after they happen. I've educated one company that I deal with, and they're a great client. And every time they have an accident, they do call us immediately. And when I say immediately, it's within hours of the accident, which is great. And these are serious accidents that occur, and this company is everywhere. And they get involved in a lot of different types of accidents, and including some fatalities. And every one of the accidents that we've investigated on their behalf, it has never been their fault that the accident happened. We were always able to prove that it was the other person's that caused that accident. Most of the time it's because somebody was on a cell phone or texting or just wasn't paying attention. Particular time, it was because somebody had a heart attack. I know that they didn't plan on having that heart attack, but when they did, they crossed over the center line and they got hit head-on by our client's vehicle, or one of their vehicles. But I wish that every insurance company and every client that we have, I wish they would call us immediately or as soon as they can after an accident happens, because it makes our job that much easier to show exactly what happened. Golf cart accidents, you know, who would figure, you know, but according to the Consumer Product Safety Commission, there's approximately 10,000 golf cart-related accidents requiring emergency room treatment in the United States each year. And the majority of these accidents are related to either braking, cart rollovers, or passengers being ejected. Now, you know, this is supposed to be an easy game of golf. And, you know, and you sit here and you scratch your head and say, what is going on? I mean, are they having drag races with these golf carts? I mean, they don't go that fast. But anyway, these accidents do occur every year, and we have been called out to go out and reconstruct what happened to that individual that got injured because of a golf cart that either got rolled over or a passenger fell out of the golf cart. A lot of times it has to do with alcohol, or it has to do just with inattentiveness. You know, it's just anybody who plays golf knows exactly what I'm talking about. Some people get all excited, and some people, you know, they play golf all day long. It could be because they get fatigued. Who knows? But we have had several clients ask us to go out and, you know, reconstruct what happened in this golf cart accident. And again, we do the same thing. We go out and we photograph the golf cart. We will, even if we have to, if it's, say that it's out of service, we will start tearing the golf cart down. Because you can tell sometimes if some part of the golf cart, some mechanical part, wasn't working properly, such as the brakes or whatever, then the litigation and the fault goes right back to the, obviously, to the country club. But these accidents happen all the time. And then, you know, lawnmower accidents. Statistically, there are approximately 180,000 lawnmower accidents a year. And, you know, and I'm talking about these riding lawnmowers. And the only reason why there's so many accidents with these is because people don't read the warning labels on these golf carts. On these lawnmowers. These riding lawnmowers, you know, you can't go down or ride adjacent to an incline and think that it's not going to roll over, because it is. You can't do that. If you're going to go and mow your lawn, or if you're in the business and you're mowing somebody else's lawn, you got to go down the incline the correct way, not sideways, or you're going to get hurt. And in most instances, what happens is that we found what happens is that the mower deck will catch something. You'll either dig into the lawn, and the next thing, that mower, that riding lawnmower, is out of control. And we've shown this again by going to the scene, looking at the lawnmower. If you're picking up pieces of turf off the deck, then you, and especially if there's, you know, it's quite evident sometimes that there's more turf than there should be, and it's not clippings. There's a lot of dirt and everything else that they definitely were not mowing correctly. And we've done a number of these investigations, for different insurance companies, because people put claims in. And we found in most cases it was the operator's fault for that accident, because of the way that they were mowing their lawn. Or if you're in, like I said, in business of mowing lawns, it's because of the way you were doing it for your client. But all of these, again, these cases that we get are mostly from attorneys and from insurance companies. And the adjusters will ask us to go out and again and ask us to reconstruct it the best we can. And again, it's the same method that we use for all accidents. We photograph the machine. If there's a big gouge in the lawn, we photograph that. If there's a rock that they hit, we photograph that. And you can tell because there's metal on these machines. Sometimes they leave some paint, and we can take paint scrapings off of it to show that they hit that. And we do that, and we know how to preserve the evidence. And, you know, and I can't stress enough that, yes, this is very good money for us to do when we do these types of investigations. But we are trained to do these investigations. And if you hire someone, you just can't go in the phone book and look up private investigator and say, hey, can you investigate this type of claim? Because it's not going to happen. You've got to be a qualified expert in accident investigation and reconstructions. And that takes schooling, that takes a lot of hours, and there's not a lot of people that can do this. And it's, you know, and I'd like to tell anybody who wants to get into this business of accident investigation and reconstruction, there's several very good schools that you can go to and you can get trained in how to do accident investigations and the reconstruction. And you want to take these courses. It isn't something you can do over the internet. It's a school that usually lasts at least 12 to 16 weeks, and you get involved in all kinds of things. And most of these schools were put together to educate the police and train them as certified accident reconstructionists. And you get certified by the school as an accident reconstructionist, and it's a good thing to have in your portfolio, believe me. And if you're lucky enough to have somebody on your staff as a in the private sector, you really got one step up on your competition. But a newcomer can come into this business and attend these schools if they have the money, because it costs quite a bit of money to attend these schools. And you can become an accident reconstructionist, and you will find that it's very lucrative. There's a lot of business out there for a good qualified accident reconstruction, because accidents, like I said, are happening all the time. Another one that we get involved in is ladders. You'd be amazed at how many ladder accidents that we've investigated. And usually it's because of somebody putting a ladder in a position that it shouldn't be in. And I know, Rusty, that you're going to stop me because I can see the time, and you're going to say it's time for a commercial.
Yep, you absolutely felt my vibe. I hate interrupting you, but it's got to happen. So here we go to Sponsorland.
In a world where businesses are plagued by overwhelming numbers of difficulties, one support network will rise to protect business owners from devastation. Dreams Woven Support Network. Under the guidance of the experts at Dreams Woven, business owners will be able to stay focused and stay motivated as they work their way toward their dreams. To run a business is to fight in a battle against a fleet of hardships that threatens to bring the business toward failure. To win that battle, one must have the adequate resources and a plan to combat the seemingly endless barrage of hardships. With the power of the Dreams Woven Support Network, obtaining the resources and plan for the battle of business is simple by using the multitude of tips and resources provided by Dreams Woven. One will be able to vanquish any hardships that arise and bring one's business to success. $8.97 is all it takes to acquire the power of Dreams Woven. Sign up today at DreamsWovenSupportNetwork.org to achieve success for your business and to have your dream woven into reality.
January 2015. In Pride and Prejudice, A Relocation Nightmare is based on a mother's true story of her attempts to relocate home to her family after a messy divorce, only to be discriminated against and forced to live without her support. Order your copy today. www.rustymcdonald.com.
We were still on mute. David, I definitely want to take a minute and a half and have you plug your book, Uniforms, and the future of uniforms, because, you know, we run the show real tight. Our timeline's really tight on the show because you have so much information that you like to give. And sometimes I don't even think you breathe. but, you know, I also want to give you honor and respect for your writing and your work. As you know, I have 5 books coming out this year, and I'm on Thursday, I'm on 4 different radio shows with talking about my book and doing all that media stuff. And you do the same kind of thing, but you're so sweet and humble about it that nobody knows where you are, where they can find you, or what the book's about and what the new book's going to be about. So take a minute and a half and shamelessly plug yourself, my dear.
Thank you. I want to congratulate you, Rusty, because you work hard, and I'm glad to see, you know, I'm really happy for you about your success for your books. I really am. My book's called Uniforms.
Thank you.
And Uniforms is basically, it was written because I've worn so many uniforms throughout my career. Well, I've worn a uniform since I was 8 years old, because even my publisher, you know, they promote the book as from parochial school to the VC-infested jungles of Vietnam, recounts my experience in uniforms. It's a memoir. You know, and it's a true life story, and it's a true life story of discipline, of respect, of commitment, of survival, and of dedication. It captures the mood of an era. It really does, and that's the baby boomers era, the 1950s, growing up in the 1950s and the 1960s. And what happened in my life and how it changed my life forever, and it really did. It tells a story, my story, of what happened when I was growing up. Like I said, I was in parochial school, and anybody who went to school and at a parochial school, a Catholic school, and being taught by nuns knows exactly what I'm saying, because that is an experience in itself. And I did 12 years with the nuns. Not that I wanted to, but my father, my family, that was the way it was. And so anyway, and I was also very fortunate to become a member of a drum and bugle corps. This is not a band. It's nothing like a band. A drum and bugle corps is just what it says. It's drum and bugles. And we paraded and did competitions all over New England, Canada, New York. We even paraded at JFK's inauguration in Washington, D.C., when he became president, which was a great thrill and honor for us. And I mean, it was just amazing. And I did that for 10 years while I was going through school, going through high school and grammar school, because I started in the drum corps at 8 years old. I was the youngest member of the drum corps. So it tells all about the drum corps. Then it tells about how when I turned 18, I went to boot camp and at Parris Island because I enlisted in the United States Marine Corps. And I talk in detail about what it was like to go through boot camp at Parris Island. It's quite an eye-opener. If you've seen the movie Metal Jacket, Full Metal Jacket, the beginning of it anyway, it depicts a lot of what really happens or what really did happen at Parris Island. And that was an experience of my lifetime, to say the least. Then the book goes on and it describes my two tours of duty that I did while I was in Vietnam as a combat veteran. And that was in 1969 and 1970, which was right at the height of the Vietnam War, when we sent most of the people over there, I mean, in Vietnam. And then I talk about how I came back home and the reception I had when I got back home, which was pretty nil. I thought that I was probably the worst person on earth for serving my country. The book goes on to tell how that was. And like I said, I mean, I was even spit on and called a baby killer. All because I did my duty and I served my country. You know, and it took 44 years before anybody ever said anything to me like, welcome home and thank you for your service. And that didn't happen until this March of 2014 when I was doing a radio show, and I was talking about the book, and somebody called in and they welcomed me home from Vietnam. That was the first time anybody ever did that. But anyway, that's the book. It's called Uniforms. It does have its own website. The website is www.uniforms.com. uniformsthebook.com. And if anybody would like to get a copy of this book, it is on Amazon. I got great reviews on it. It is also on, but it's in Barnes & Noble. But if you'd like a personalized copy of the book, all you have to do is email me at David, D-A-V-I-D, at Standa, S-T-A-N-D-A, .com, and I would be honored to send you a personalized copy of the book. The soft cover of the book sells for $20, and the hard cover is $30, and that does include shipping. And my sequel to this book is also Uniforms, the State Police Years. And I'm in the process of writing that now. And that is also going to be available sometime in probably in the second quarter of this year. And there's a lot of people waiting for that second book because they read the first book. They like my style of writing. And they can't wait to get their hands on this second one. And so I urge everybody who has not had a chance to read Uniforms to please do yourself a favor. It's a good read. It's a true story. And I know that you will really enjoy it. Thank you.
And I can tell you that I'm honored not only to be your friend, but also to have you as my mentor. And I apologize that I wasn't born when you came back from Vietnam to welcome you home, so I'm going to do it now.
Thank you. I appreciate
You're welcome, hon. All right, so let's get back to this whole accident thing, the fraudulent nature behind accidents and reporting.
Well, I think we're going to do it right. We're going to go into the motor vehicle accidents because we got that. I can see the time. And the thing is about motor vehicle accidents, with, you know, everybody gets... we're all subject to it. I mean, I don't know very many people that haven't been involved in some type of motor vehicle accident. They happen, like I said, every second of the day. And hopefully, if you've been involved in a motor vehicle accident, it was a minor accident. But the biggest thing you want to do, if you're involved in a motor vehicle accident, one thing you want to keep in mind, do not flee the scene. I don't care what it is. You do not. That's the rule, okay? Leaving the scene of an accident, even if you didn't cause the accident, could really, really ruin your day. You want to talk about having a bad day? It's an ugly explosion of legal ramifications, including fines, loss of license, and arrest. And the first thing you want to do if you're involved in an accident is you don't want to make the scene any worse than what it is. And if you can pull off the road, you want to do that to get out of the way. Everybody thinks you got to stay there. You don't. Just move it over. Move your vehicle off the road a little bit. Give the other people that are driving, you know, a way around you. Believe me, if your accident's bad enough and your vehicle's disabled, the police, you know, have somebody, if you can push that vehicle off the road, anything, have somebody help you. Because the police, when they arrive, believe me, they will thank you for opening up that lane of traffic. Because that's when I was a police officer, that was one of the biggest things. We never shut down a highway for anything. You know, we moved vehicles off the road and we investigated the accidents. Today, they shut down highways at the drop of a hat. It's amazing to me. And we never did that. And it's just amazing how many times I go down the highway and you have to turn around because there's been an accident. And now they had to shut down the highway to investigate that accident. Well, we didn't do that when I was a police officer in the state police. And I worked the entire state. But times have changed. I know that. And I know that we have a heck of a lot more traffic today than we used to have when I was a police officer. But what you want to do, one of the first things is once you're safe, you want to exchange information with another driver that was involved in the accident. You want to get their name, their address, their phone number, their license number, and their insurance information. Now, some people will not have insurance in the state of New Hampshire because New Hampshire doesn't require that everybody have insurance. However, if they do have insurance, you want to get that information. Most people have cell phones. So if you have a cell phone and you have a camera on that cell phone, take photographs of the scene. Take photographs of the other vehicle. Take photographs of your vehicle. And a quick tip, when you're taking photographs of vehicles, always take the photograph not only of the damage, but get the registration plate number of the other vehicle and your vehicle to show that that is your vehicle and the other vehicle, that's the vehicle that was involved. That plate number is very important. Even if they didn't hit you, you know, in front or on the rear, but they hit you on the sides or something, or the damage is on the side, always take a photograph of that registration, the plate number. Anybody who's injured in the vehicle, do not try to move them. Keep the injured people in the vehicle if possible. Wait for the emergency responders to come and let them move these people, because if you could do more damage if these people are injured, you could injure them even more by moving them out of the vehicle. So try not to do that at all. Just keep them safe, keep them warm, and keep them quiet. You know, that's the biggest thing. Don't lose your temper. You don't have to swear at anybody. You know, and just keep calm. If you do have insurance, most of your insurance information will have a card with you. If you follow the instructions on that card from your insurance company, you can't go wrong. You'll even have a place, sometimes they'll even have a place where you can do a diagram. But the time that you have to remember, when you have an accident, the police may not always come, even if you call them. But if they come, more power to you. But if they don't come, you have to file a report with the state of New Hampshire. And if you don't, you are breaking the law. If you have damage in excess of $1,000 or more, or if anybody was injured, obviously if anybody was killed, police will come anyway, believe me. Or if there is property damage. And you want the police to be there if any of these things occur. And you're mandated within 15 days of the accident that you file a report with the Department of Motor Vehicles in the state of New Hampshire. And that accident report has to be filed with the Department of Safety accident section at 10 Hazen Drive, Concord, New Hampshire, 03305. And you can get these accident reports online, and if the police don't give you one, or if your insurance company doesn't give you one, you can get it from the form online by going to the State of New Hampshire Motor Vehicle Department, and the form is called DSMV 400, and that's the Division of Motor Vehicles in Concord for that accident form. Now, the ways, like I said, to mitigate your losses, notify your insurance company as soon as you can, okay? And if you don't have insurance, you know, well, all I can say is good luck, especially if it's not your fault. And if you hit something in a parking lot, like a lamppost or something, good luck to you. I believe that everybody should have insurance, just like the state of Maine requires it, the state of Massachusetts requires it, and I'm a firm believer in insurance. I really am. One of the areas that a lot of people get caught up in is these accidents in parking lots. You're backing up, somebody else is backing up, and you back into each other. Well, now it's a he said, she said type of thing. Again, you exchange your information. You get as much information about the other driver. And if the police do come, you want to listen to what, or try to listen to what is being said by the other occupant, not occupant, the other driver, especially if he's at fault and backed into you. And if they made any statements like, well, I didn't mean it, or I was on my phone, or I was lighting a cigarette, or I wasn't looking in my mirror. You know, I don't know what it is with people. I don't know why they can't turn their head and look behind them, but it seems like people like to use mirrors when they're backing up. I always turn around. I was taught that. That's driving 101. The other thing, again, your photographs, try to find witnesses. If you find witnesses, sometimes people are reluctant to be a witness, but if you can get a name and an address of somebody and a telephone number so that you can call them or so that your adjuster can call them, you know, again, this will give the adjuster more information so that your circumstances of this accident and your liability factor is mitigated. And you want to mitigate it as least as possible. I mean, you don't want to be at fault for this accident. Why should you or your insurance company go up on your premiums for somebody else's mistake? And it happens all the time. And the only reason why it happens is because we don't follow through with what we're supposed to follow through with. After you exchange the information with everybody, you can go, especially if you're in a parking lot. Most parking lots today in these stores, they have cameras on the poles, the light poles. What I would do, if it were me, I would go inside the store, ask for the manager, tell them what happened in the parking lot, and ask them if they have a camera in the parking lot, and if they do, ask them if they would play back the camera and see if you can find where that accident occurred on the video that was recording. Even if you have to pay for the video, who cares? You give that to your adjuster. I mean, that's some great stuff. That's some great evidence because it's going to show exactly what happened. And it's not a, then it doesn't become a he said, she said type of thing. You know, if you have somebody with you in your vehicle when you have an accident, even a minor accident, the adjuster doesn't really care about that. And because, of course, they're going to say it was the other person's fault. But if you have witnesses or if you have a video or anything of this nature, it's going to be black and white. And these things don't lie. You know, it tells it, you can't do anything about it, and you're taking the video right from the recording device, and it's just a great piece of evidence to have. And I urge everybody to, if you don't have something in your vehicle, just in case you have an accident that you can fill out, that you get something. You get it from your insurance company. They all have them. And again, like I said, I want to reiterate the fact that most of us have cell phones with cameras. Take photographs. Take photographs of the parking lot. Take photographs of the light poles. And if you can see a camera, take the photograph of that camera. And hopefully that camera will be able to see what happened and record the accident itself. And, you know, people are on their phones all the time, know how to use that thing. And, you know, and give those photographs copies, by the way. Give those copies of the photographs to your insurance company, to the adjuster that's assigned to your case. Work with your adjuster. You don't have to fabricate anything. You just give them the information. If you made a diagram, give them the diagram. Again, a copy. The whole thing about an accident is documentation. And I don't care what type of accident it is. Like I said, any accident can be investigated. Any accident can be reconstructed. Any accident can show who's at fault and who was at fault for the accident and any injuries that occurred as a result of it. You know, for some reason...
David, we have about less than 3 minutes, so I just want to give you your warning.
Okay, here it is. I'm going to give a summary. Any and all types of accidents have a potentially to be investigated and reconstructed by a private investigator. Proper and factual documentation is the key factor in any investigation. We, in the private sector, investigate and reconstruct accidents after the fact. We rely on our investigative experience and knowledge to gather and document facts accurately as possible, factual, clear, concise, to the point, without prejudice or conjecture. You know, an accident reconstruction expert provides an expert opinion and analysis regarding different types of accidents. They give reports to insurance company adjusters, or these reports go to attorneys as part of the defense and litigation. They provide expert testimony in court if they needed. And many law firms, they use an accident reconstructionist investigator for assisting in preparing trial documents for court exhibits regarding any accident or incident. So you can see how important it is and the role that we play in accident investigating. So with that being said, you know, just pay attention to your driving, pay attention in parking lots, and if you hit a car and there's nobody in it, please leave them a note. And on the note, please leave your name and your contact information and the time and what happened. At least they can get a hold of you. Give them that courtesy. Because, you know, you wouldn't like it if somebody hit your car when you weren't in it and you got damage and nobody told you where the contact person that did it. So with that, I am done.
Yay! We get to chat for a second. So what's going to be on our adventure list for next week?
Well, next week, we're either going to talk about surveillance, or I'm trying to get one of my associates who's from the New Hampshire League of Investigators. He's got a real tight schedule. I'm trying to get him on so he can talk about the profession, the private investigative profession, and what the league does here in the state of New Hampshire and their role in our industry.
Perfect. All right, so Monday will be a surprise as usual. David, thank you so much for all of your information, and as always, you are listening to Ask a PI on Monday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 8 p.m., and next Monday will be a surprise, but go and like us on Facebook because we'd like to be liked. And until then, be safe, be smart, be wise.
Stay safe, everybody, and thank you for listening.
You are listening to Ask a PI Talk Radio with hosts David Ducheneau, author, PI, former Marine, and former New Hampshire State Trooper, and Rusty McDonald, PI, author, motivational speaker, and international radio talk show host.